Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, I have a very special guest, a young lady that's going to be coming forth very shortly. She's going to be sharing with us a testimony first, and I'm going to have some questions for her that I'm going to be asking her, and she's going to be answering the questions with some scriptures to back up the questions. So as always, I'm asking you to please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with us as we get ready to go through God's Word together on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. My special guest is none other than Sister Armani Daniels. She's my special guest on tonight. I'm so excited to have her on the show, this worldwide platform. You are truly going to be blessed by her on tonight. I am so excited and looking forward to what God is going to say through her on tonight, even through her testimony and also through the questions. So make sure you have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready so that you too can follow along with her as we go through God's Word together on tonight, even through the questions that I'm going to be asking her on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. So on tonight, I'm asking all listeners, as always, please pray with me at this time because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for and bless your name for who you are. We know that you're truly worthy to be praised. There is none like you in all the earth. We bless your name on tonight because you are truly worthy to be praised. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, my guest on tonight, Sister Armani Daniels, and her entire family, and every believer in Jesus Christ all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we give you glory, honor, and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that still works and it will never lose its power. We thank Heavenly Father that through him we can be redeemed and be able to fulfill our God purpose in the earth for your glory in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. And then we also come lifting up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Heavenly Father, we know that you are still consoling your people. You are still healing your people even through bereavement on tonight. So touch them, let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. In Jesus' name we pray. And on tonight, Heavenly Father, once again, we ask that you will move by your Spirit. Touch those that may be tuning in on tonight that are not saved in Jesus' name, that are still spiritually blind, that through your woman of God on tonight, my special guest, Sister Danielle Armani, that through her answering the questions that we have given to her and through her testimony, that something will be said on tonight through her that will touch their hearts, that they too will be able to open their own mouth, confess their sins. And they too will also be able to open their own mouth and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight, so that they too will be able to come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their own individual God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we ask that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you be glorified. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us, even on tonight, because we know that we are not worthy of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, you have another spiritual food for thought. Our spiritual food for thought comes to us saying on tonight, again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, never let fear or doubt tell you the opposite of what God said. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, never let fear or doubt tell you the opposite of what God said. Someone needed to hear that word on tonight. Because of what the world is experiencing now through this pandemic and through this worldwide virus, some people are fearful and some people are doubting God. So we need to know that no matter what we're going through in this world and this life, don't never fear or doubt God's word. Trust God because he is a faithful God and he has a perfect track record. So we want to continue to stand on God's word even on tonight, even while we're going through this worldwide pandemic. On tonight, because God is still in control. So right now, before I bring on my special guest, Sister Armani Daniels, we're going to go to our music break. No, I'll tell you what. I am going to go right to my special guest on tonight because I'm going to do a music break in between her questions on tonight. We're going to do it a little bit different on tonight. So my special guest on tonight is a young lady that I met a couple of months ago back in November. At Pastor Sharon Ford's prayer breakfast back in November of last year. And this young woman is anointed, a young woman of God. I think she's in college, if I'm not mistaken. She'll be able to answer that in a few minutes as soon as she comes live with us on the air. She's standing by right now. But I met this young woman of God at a prayer breakfast, and she was asked to offer up a word of prayer. And what a powerful, anointed prayer she gave at the prayer breakfast. So that's why the Lord touched my heart to ask her to be one of my guests on this worldwide platform. And I'm so excited to have her on, and I know that she's going to be a blessing to someone on tonight. So, Sister Armani Daniels, before I go into your questions on tonight, would you please introduce yourself, and then after you introduce yourself, would you please share with the worldwide listeners a testimony first, and then following your testimony, we will go into your questions.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on your show first. It's always an honor to come before, you know, God's people, to be trusted with his word. My name is Armani. I go by Armani Danielle. Peace is my full name. I have like a whole name, but you know, names are just so long sometimes. I'm like, I wish it was an easier way to do this thing, but I'm 23 years old. I am a student. I'm getting ready to graduate officially soon. In light of the circumstances, everything has been pushed back a little. I own two companies, Keep Your Faith and Cute and Cover, and they are both, you know, God-given to give him the glory. Keep Your Faith is a community of believers who connect through faith, fitness, fashion, and media, and Cute and Cover is a clothing brand and collection which help. I thought it would be for women, but now it's kind of curving into men too. But ultimately, I want to change the world standard of beauty and help women and men discover their identity through fashion. So those are the things that God has gifted me to do. Other than that, I just love to bring light to every dark place across the globe.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for you on tonight. And I did not know that you had you own two companies. What a blessing. And see, God has no respect of a person. As long as he knows that, and that's what I love about God, he's searching each one of our hearts. And he knows already who's going to be faithful in what he assigned to our hands to do that's going to bring him glory. So you continue to keep up the great work in your businesses. And as long as you keep God first, guess what? You haven't seen nothing yet. Both of your businesses are going to flourish even beyond your wildest dreams. That's what the Lord put in my spirit to let you know on tonight as being a young entrepreneur, a young female, black female entrepreneur that's in business, has not one company but two companies. What a blessing. Sister Armani, on tonight, I sent you some questions that I'm going to be asking you. I know I asked you if you could add a scripture or two to each question. So I pray again that the listeners, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with her as we go through God's word on tonight. And my first question to Sister Armani is, first of all, I'd like to say to you also, thank you for sharing that testimony. And the reason I ask all my first-time guests to share testimonies is God gives his glory through our testimonies. He said that he will share his glory with no one. So I want the robot listeners to know that, and God has no respect of a person, and what he's doing through our young guest on tonight, Sister Armani, what he's doing through her, he's also able to do for you the listeners that are business-minded and want to start your own business or own your own company. You now have heard out of her own mouth what God is doing for her, and he's the same God. He's able to do the same thing for you as long as you keep the faith and keep him first. So I thank you for sharing that testimony on tonight.
I do want to add that. Look, that was just a little bit about myself, but look, that's not even a portion of my testimony. So I never want to, not be able to tell people why I go so hard for Jesus and I have all this faith. And ultimately, I didn't grow up in the church, you know, like a lot of people. I didn't really, go to church weekly and things like that. But I always wanted to know, a little more about the supernatural and the divine and things like that. So I entered a relationship. This is cutting out a ton of the beginning of my story, but just, overcoming some childhood trauma, some abuse and things like that. I began to search for myself in different relationships and friendships and things like that. And finally, I had gotten into a relationship that was definitely not of God, but God used it for me to dig deeper and draw nigh to him. So during this relationship, I was actually saved in the very act of sexual sin. And I think a lot of women, even men, sometimes they look at that as something to be ashamed about. So I do want to encourage any woman or any man who's listening to this that the word says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new is here. And I share that because, I was in my wildest evil. I was, like I said, in the very act of sexual sin. And in that moment, the floor opened up and I had awakened vision. And I looked down and there were these black dots, like little demons. And I remember it was hot and it was like these terrorizing screams. And they were reaching up to me and pulling me down. They were saying, like, help us. Help us. And in that moment, I realized that I had seen hell. and God showed me that hell is a real place and people go to hell. And a lot of people are afraid to talk about hell because they don't want to scare people away. But because I was minding what I thought was my business and I wasn't really thinking about the word of God, I wasn't thinking about growing in God and, you know, living a lifestyle pleasing to him, I was, you know, in my shame. I was in my wickedness. I was doing all of these things, and God revealed himself to me in such a mighty way. I'm like, okay, God, you are the real deal, and I got to live for you, because if this is hell, I don't want to do, like, that's not where I want to go. But not only me, I realized that there are souls on the line, and there are people going to hell because of their lifestyles. There are people going to hell because of the things that they do, and it's not to scare you, but it's to remind you that God will come to you in your brokenness. God will come to you in your mess, because I was not, like I said, I was not in the church. I was not praising the Lord. I was not searching for Jesus. I was searching for love in all the wrong places, and God revealed himself to me then, and he reminded me that I love you, and you can come home to me. You can serve me. You can know me, and I want to know you more. So that is what really brought me to God, was that very moment, just being able to see hell and recognizing that it's so many people that perish, like the word says, because of a lack of knowledge, and they don't know that hell is a place you go, and here it is, you're living however, doing whatever, because the world says that's okay, when that's the very opposite, and it's contrary to the lifestyle and the covering that God has made ready for you. So I always like to encourage people that, like, God's word is protection. Can't no condoms protect you. Can't no birth control protect you. Can't no man protect you. God is your protector. And his word says to flee from sexual immorality. His word says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I started to recognize that the word of God said all of these things about me. And here it is. I'm listening to social media. I'm listening to boyfriends and friends. I'm listening to my past. I'm listening to abuse. And I'm like, no, that's not who I am. I am what God said I am. And I don't have to settle for that lifestyle. I just want to be who he created me to be and live the lifestyle that he prepared for me. Because one of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11. And God says that he knows the plans that he has for you, and those plans are for you to prosper, to not harm you, but to give you the future that he has for you. So when you're living in sin and when you're living under the guidance of the enemy, then ultimately you're going towards destruction. And I can't exactly tell you where the scripture is at the moment, but I know that the word teaches us that there's a way that seemeth right to man, but in the end it leads to destruction. And I was living a lifestyle that was leading me to destruction and not leading me to success and not leading me to the future that God actually has for me. So I just praise God that I have been free from shame and I have been free from fear and, you know, things like that. So when you shared that scripture, like, don't let fear or doubt stop you from saying what God has told you to say, that's really something I'm overcoming, and that's a word for me, because the enemy will try to silence you. The enemy will try to silence your voice, but it's like, no, whoever's listening to this, I want you to be encouraged that your story and the thing that God brought you through, that is going to set so many people free, and it's not about you. We got to take ourselves out of it, because it's bigger than us, and your struggle, the thing that you feel is so horrible, your salvation even, when you got saved, you didn't get saved for you. You got saved to bring more people into the kingdom. You got saved so that people can know Jesus. Your salvation is to, be a disciple and to grow disciples. The Great Commission, to go out into the nations and preach the gospel. So I just want to encourage that person who feels like, oh, I'm saved now, and, you know, that's good, I'm going to heaven. It's not about you. It's so much more than that.
Wow. You know what? Now, listeners, now my listening audience, now you see why the Lord had to have this young woman on this show tonight. She is so powerful, and I thank God for you for going even further and going deeper into your testimony and sharing this, your testimony regarding sexual sins to the world. Because not only you, but a whole lot of people, not only just young people, but a lot of older people too, fit into that same category. So again, the word of God says he has no respect of persons. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins.
Yes,
so you have just shared with us another powerful testimony, and I know God is truly glorified through you on tonight, because you shared this testimony of your past that someone else needed to hear that. Someone else is going to be encouraged. Someone else is going to be strengthened and blessed because of your testimony that you just shared with the world on tonight over this worldwide platform. So thank you so much. Again, God is pleased with you, and he is truly glorified with you on tonight, Sister Armani Daniels. So on tonight, for my question to you, my first question is, why isn't God everyone's father?
I would say because of the lifestyle, again, like sort of what I share, because of the lifestyle that people choose to live. Ultimately, God, we're all God's children. That's what I truly believe. God loves each and every one of us, even the sinners, even the people that aren't lovable. However, you have to be open to receive God into your life to have him as your father, because the lifestyle I was living in my past, Emily, yeah, God loved me, but I was turning away from him, and I was making a choice to live for Satan. So really, I was living as Satan's child and not God. So I believe that God isn't everyone's father because of the lifestyle they choose to live, because of the things they choose to do. And the scripture that I have for that is Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And it reads, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the word also teaches us that God is a father to the fatherless, and that's something that I really stood firm on in a place where I felt very alone, because in a sense, we were adopted into God's family. So God is your father, but you have to make the choice to receive Christ into your heart to be his child. You have to live as his child. You have to live under his guidance because he's a good father. So think about it. I mean, I know some parents, you know, and children don't have the best bonds and relationships, and some students, I mean, students, Lord, but some, you know, children may not listen to their parents' guidance, but in most cases, when your father speaks, you listen. When your father speaks, you obey, because you know that your father is leading you in the right direction. You know that your father knows what's best for you. You know that your father is not going to harm you. You know that your father wants to nurture you and love you. So when God, when you receive Christ into your heart and you develop that relationship with God, then he is your father and you're living for him. You're not living like the world. You're not living like the enemy. So God isn't everyone's father because you haven't chosen to be adopted into his family.
All right. And I've been, you know what, I totally agree with what you said, but I'm going to add another the scripture, and not actually the scripture, but I'm going to say to you and also maybe the new listeners on tonight regarding this question, why isn't God everyone's father? You gave a very good scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. But another reason why God is not everyone's father, because God is everyone's, he is everyone's creator. He becomes everyone's
Amen.
Father when once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We ask to be saved in his name. Then God becomes your father. If you're not saved in Jesus' name, he is your creator. But once you become saved in Jesus' name, then he becomes your heavenly father. Thank you. But I like what you got. I love that scripture that you gave, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, to that question. My next question to you is, who is our neighbor?
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine about this question in particular, and she said, you know, well, I wonder what that means. So I thought, okay, your neighbor is everyone, like, you know, everyone around you. So we ended up looking at the Greek word for neighbor, and some of the words that they gave for the definition was near, neighboring, any other person, or a friend, which essentially can be the person walking down the street, the person who lives next door from you, your brother, your coworkers, the people you go to school with. And ultimately, your neighbor is any person you come in contact with. You should be sharing the love of Christ. You should be giving them Jesus. You should be a reflection of all that he is to them. because we're supposed to be a reflection, right? So your neighbor is any person that you come in contact with.
Amen. And you said the right word. Everyone is our neighbor. And I didn't really get that at first growing up as a child, because I recently, as an adult, this question came about, and I heard this question, and I didn't really understand it at first. But like you said, now that I'm growing in the Lord and in His Word, the Word makes it very clear that everyone is our neighbor. And so that's why we have to be very careful about how we live our lives, especially around those that are not saved in Jesus' name, because if we are a reflection of Jesus, then they should be able to see Jesus Christ in us. And that's why we're going to be held accountable. When we stand before God in the day of judgment, we are all going to be held accountable. If we know that everyone is supposed to be our neighbors, and we are supposed to be Christ-like, and we're supposed to be saved in Jesus' name, but we're living like the world, and we're cursing everybody out, and we're doing everything opposite of a Christian, then God is going to hold us accountable for that, because we can call someone not to accept Jesus Christ because of the way we live, knowing that everyone is supposed to be our neighbors, but we live in our life like the world. The next question is, are we our brother and sister's keepers? How and why?
I would say we're our brothers and sisters keeper because, you know, God says that, His Word says that two are better, and we were made to do life together. So when your sister or your brother has fallen, when they're going through something, or, you know, if you see them struggling maybe with sin, or you see them struggling, you know, financially, we are their keeper. We're supposed to edify and build them up. We're supposed to pour into them. We're supposed to be givers and lenders. We're supposed to love them and be able to pray for them, be able to cover your friends. A question that someone has been asking me recently is, who's in your inner circle even? So, you know, sometimes you have to have people around you who can pour back into you, people who can give you the same things, but even the people who can't, even the people, like I say, the unlovable, even the person maybe that you find a hard time, you know, talking to, you still need to keep them in your prayers. You still need to keep them covered. You still need to keep them, you know, in your heart. So when I think of a keeper, I think of, are you keeping people in your prayers? Are you covering them? And that's the most important thing. That's how you truly keep people, is if you can't talk to someone, if you can't talk to someone about a situation, you can always pray for them. There is no reason that in your alone time you're not covering them in that situation, because God is powerful and God changes hearts. So at the end of the day, you should keep every person you're connected to in Christ or even outside of Christ. Because like I said, we're all brothers and sisters. I can't say in Christ because, again, there are some, you know, some people that the enemy has in bondage. But we can still keep them covered by praying for them and loving them and being that reflection of Christ to them.
Amen. That's right. I totally agree with that. And we are our brother's keeper. Because we, if we are being Christ-like, like you said, some people are not saved. Some people I hate to say it this way, but some people, it sometimes seems to be unlovable, even sometimes in the body of Christ, because sometimes we, in the body of Christ, we can have some nasty attitudes, and our ways can seem so far away from the Lord that it turns people away from God. And it can cause us to scatter the flock of God, because we are saved in Jesus' name, and we know that we're supposed to be our brother's keepers and our sister's keeper, but we are being the total opposite of that. But I like what you said. If we can't do anything to help them materially or physically, we can always pray for them.
Absolutely.
And so that's what God is looking at. He is looking at our hearts. And when we are praying for our brothers and our sisters, whether they're saved or not, because, like you said, everybody are not in the body of Christ, but we all in the human race. So God created all of us, and He said in His Word, He have no respect to a person. There's a scripture that says, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. So whatever we as Christians go through, even those that are not saved in Jesus' name, they're going to go through trials and tribulations too, even though they are not saved in the body of Jesus Christ yet. So that's why we're going to continue to lift them up in prayer, that those that are spiritually blind, because they are still our sisters and brothers, they are not in the body of Christ yet. I'm saying yet because if we keep praying for them and they come to know who Jesus is, if we continue to be the light that shines in front of them, that they can see Christ in us, they're going to get motivated. They're going to start asking questions. You know, I want some of what you have. And then we can lead them to Jesus Christ, and then we can lead them to church. And then once they hear the word of God is what does the work. The word, the Holy Spirit, Spirit touches their heart. And then that will draw them to want to accept Jesus Christ and be saved in his name. So that's when they become our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I like what you said. And again, even though they may not be saved yet, we are all a part of the human race. God made them just like he made those that are saved in Jesus' name. My next question to you is, as Christians, why is it important to let our light? Why is it important to let our light shine?
So that our lifestyle can be a reflection of who God is. And I know, let your light shine before men. It's in Matthew. I need a little help. Of Matthew 5:16. Okay. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So it's important that we are able to show people who Jesus is, even if they don't know him, because of your love and because of the fruit on your life, because of the anointing and the glory on your life, people can look at you and say, wait, you know, I see all the things that are happening in his or her life. I see how kind they are. I see how loving they are. I see that they always give. I see that they always have a good attitude. I see that they're always, you know, there for people. So when people see that, it makes them want to know, who is this God you serve? Who is this person? Why do good things always happen to you? I think a lot of people I'm connected to, they're just like, Armani, why do you always get this? And why do you always get what you ask for? And it's like, because I am obedient to my Father in heaven, because I have, you know, laid down my old lifestyle and surrendered it to God, because I am faithful in my private time, because I pray, because I spend time with Jesus, I spend time in the Word, because y'all don't know the private victories and the private struggles that I have had to go through to get to where I'm at. So when God does something good for me, I for sure give him the glory, because I know what I had to do to get these things. It's not like, oh, I just get things. I always give God the glory, and I let that light shine, and I let these glorious, you know, things to the world shine, even though I know that they're just temporary, because the true reward is in heaven, and I'm looking at the eternal things. But I realize that God is going to give me these things and do these things in my life so that I can show people, because of the lifestyle I'm living, you know, you can have these things too. And like you keep saying, I think that's a key scripture, that God is not a respecter of persons. So if he does these things for me, he'll do the things for you. But we also know that faith without works is dead. So it's like, are you willing to lay down your life to get the things that God has for you? Are you willing to listen to the things he's telling you to let go of? Are you ready to let that relationship go? Are you ready to lay down that addiction? You know, and don't get me wrong, deliverance is tough, and I know it takes time, but are you willing? Like, are you willing to let that thing go so that you can be that reflection, so that you can be that way? So God can't even use you because you're putting all these toxic things into your body. And that's the thing. God wants to use us. God wants to give us things, but he can't even trust you with that money because you're going to go blow it on something silly. You know what I mean? And it's like we have to be willing and we have to be faithful with little so that he can give us more. Because if we can't even be faithful with the little bit that he's given us, then how is he going to give you more money when you keep spending it on an addiction? How is he going to give you a better car when you don't even take care of the one you have? You know what I mean? So I always say, like, you have to be willing to lay down your life truly to receive all that God has for you, and you have to be willing to let that light shine and give him the glory, because you didn't do it on your own. You did not do it on your own. God gave you that. So who are you? Are you going to, you know, be self-confident, or are you going to have that confidence and say, okay, God did this for me because of the things that I had to lay down for him?
That is so powerful. And then also what the scripture always says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So you have truly, you answered that question better than I thought you was going to answer it. And you answered it better than most people that's a lot older, that's been in the body of Christ for a long time. You answered that question like you have been in Christ for a long time. So that was a right on time word and a right on time scripture that backs up the answer to that question as to why as Christians, why it is so important that we let our light shine. My next question to you is, how do Christians scatter God's flock?
I think that this is such a great question. And, you know, when I was looking in the Word to see, you know, okay, you know, what does he mean by scatter? I had ran across Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 2, and it reads, therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. And that really stood out to me because in my mind, initially, when I read this question, I was thinking, well, scatter goodness, because I'm, you know, I try to always look on the bright side of things. But after reading that scripture, I realized that, like I said, I didn't grow up in the church, you know, so it's a lot of things that I began to see with different Christians and things like that, that I had never seen before. And if my foundation was not in Christ, if I did not really go to the Lord about these things and concerning these issues, it probably would have scattered me. And I think that that's a problem a lot of Christians have, is sometimes we get off into this being self-righteous, or we get off into this, there's only one way and your way is wrong and my way is right, when that's not really true. You know what I mean? Everybody has a different journey and everyone goes at a different pace. And what works for you may not work for someone else. And your conviction may not be someone else's conviction. So I think it's very important for us to realize that we can scare people away by being so religious. The Word also teaches us not to be holier than thou, that we are no earthly good. And ultimately, we're supposed to win people over with love. But if you're so judgmental and you're looking down on everybody who isn't living the way that you think they should live, and you don't even know what they go through in their private time, you don't even know the conversations they've had with God, you don't even know the struggles that they've gone through, but you're so quick to look at them and the way that they're living and treat them poorly because of it. Now, I will say correction, don't play now. I'm a firm believer of correction, and it's not that I hate people. I mean, obviously I don't. I love people. But when it comes to me correcting or saying something or even just praying to God, sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just give it to God. But you have to realize that we hate their sin. We don't hate them. We hate their sin. So when someone is gossiping about you, I've had that, gossipers or people, you know, just treating me poorly or just toxic people in my life, I've taken those people to God, because that will turn you away from Christ. Because you're like, okay, if I'm supposed to be a reflection of Christ, but here it is, I'm gossiping about you, that's not being a reflection of Christ. Or if I'm supposed to be like Christ, but I'm in a club every weekend, that's not being a reflection of Christ. Or if I'm cussing and, you know, cussing everybody out and got road rage and stuff, that's not being a reflection of Christ. So if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to wear Christ's name, if you're going to wear his name, then you need to truly be a reflection of that. And there is no perfection. We all know that, but we are supposed to strive for perfection just as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So you should want to be like him and walk like him and be a reflection of who he is. And like I keep saying, like, there is no perfection, and I had to learn that. But in the same token, it's like, okay, are you going to keep making excuses for being content in your sin? Are you going to keep saying, oh, this is just the way I am? Oh, God knows my heart. Yes, he sees the heart motives, but are you making an excuse to sin, or are you really just going to lay it down? And I think that's the one thing for me is like, I'm getting a little off topic, but, you know, I'm going to let the Spirit move. But it's different when you're choosing sin over changing. And I think that's the thing, because I could have easily, you know, just said, okay, I'm still going to live this lifestyle because God knows my heart. No, I had to decide that I was not going to have sex anymore. I had to decide that I wasn't going to smoke weed anymore. I had to decide that I wouldn't hang out and go certain places. I had to decide that I wasn't going to stay in an unequally yoked relationship. And although those things really hurt my flesh, I wanted the spiritual things more. So it's all about, like, are you going to decide to lay those things down, or are you going to keep making excuses for being the way that you are? So all in all, you want to grow like Christ, you want to be like Christ, but people in there, I would say their religious, thoughts and ways of carrying themselves can sometimes scare people who don't know God away, because you win people in love. And you got to, even as a missionary, I believe that's something God has called me into. And I can't go into these different territories, if I can't love people, because sometimes, like Paul said, when he was with the Gentiles, he became a Gentile, you know what I mean? And he became as one who was not under the law when he was with them, not forming and not, denying Christ, but he became like them so that he could adapt to that environment and win them over in that environment.
Amen. You said it. That's right. And you got to do it, like you said, you got to do it all in love, just like Jesus did. Mm-hmm. The Word of God tells us, He loves us, He loves us as people, but He don't love our sins. And that goes for anyone. Mm-hmm. That goes for the preacher. It goes for anyone that saves in Jesus' name, because the Word of God still says that all have sinned and come short of His glory. That goes for me, too. I'm no different. I have to give an account for everything done in my body, too, the good and the bad. So, when we have to be very careful as Christians, because I have experienced so much church hurt. There is a whole lot of people that have walked away from God, or walked away from the body of Christ, because of so-called Christians within the church that have hurt people's feelings in the Lord's house. And like you said, you're being so judgmental, and because they're not living their lives the way you live your life, and they don't praise the Lord the way you praise God, so you are going to call them out and talk to them nasty and differently, and you can be a scatterer of God's flock in so many different ways with your nasty attitudes, the way we, look down on people instead of trying to reach down. If they're down, we're supposed to reach down to pick them up. And we're supposed to do it all in love, just like Jesus Christ did all of us, even in our sins. Because of our sins, that's why Jesus Christ came down from glory in the form of flesh to pay our sin debt with His own sinless blood, so we can all be redeemed. So He didn't do it for some people. He did it for all people. And if we all have to make a decision. We, like you said, we have a choice. It's all up to us. God is not going to make us do anything. He gives all of us a choice. So I thank you for answering that question. My next question to you, before I do my music break, is how can young people, such as yourself, how can any young person minister to those that are spiritually blind today?
I would say first, be yourself. And that's something that I had to learn. And I know it's a little, I don't mean to be redundant, but this was also new for me, not growing up in church. So I was kind of learning as I went, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to try you. I'm going to try to do things your way, but I'm learning as I go. So, I had this idea, again, affection. I had this idea that, okay, I got to do everything right because, I don't want to disappoint God, or I don't want people to think that, I'm this or that. And I was really heavily into people pleasing. And that's something even that, I'm still working on, but something I've grown very much so in, just because I never want to be a poor reflection of Christ. That's my biggest thing. But I realized that was robbing me of my freedom in Christ. And there is no bondage in Christ. There's freedom in Christ. And He wants you to have life and, live life more abundantly. So I would just say be yourself, but not like the world. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to have friends. It's okay, to dress cute. I was so, so holy, y'all. Like, when I first got saved, I read scriptures about the women with the head covering, and I read scriptures about how the women, you know, you shouldn't wear makeup and you shouldn't wear earrings. And God, he began to deal with me. He's like, that's all religious, Armani. You like earrings, and I've called you into the fashion industry, and I've called you into the beauty industry, and that's what I've called you to do. And it's okay to do those things, but do those things as you would unto me. What is your heart behind it? Are you doing this to please a man? Are you doing this for likes on social media? So he began to deal with me in that way, because I thought that I couldn't be the, you know, that girl if I was saved, and that's not true. So I would say definitely, you know, young people, be yourself. It's okay to be who you are and still love Jesus and live a lifestyle pleasing to him. And then also, I would say, I really think that's it for me. It's just like, pray, develop a prayer life and develop a listening life. You need to not only pray, but listen to what the word of God is saying. And don't make anything or any person an idol. Because sometimes we as young people, you know, we can idolize someone who seems to have more wisdom, or maybe friendships who know more, to the point where we're relying more on their word and we're relying on those friendships and those pastors. And don't get me wrong, yes, you should be under proper leadership and you should obey your leadership when it comes to pastors, you know, and leadership in the church and things like that. But I will always say, you want to listen to God. You want to listen to what the word of God is telling you, because sometimes we can hear from God, but because someone seems to have more wisdom, we're like, okay, whatever they say, they, you know, whatever they're saying is better, when that's not it. You know, just the word says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. And I think that's something that I really had to stand on, because I would think like, oh, you know, they've been saved for like 50 years, so everything they say is right. And God is like, what did I say, Armani? Are you gonna listen to me and live to please me, or are you going to listen to man? So I would just say, you know, develop that relationship with God, spend time in prayer, spend time in worship, and develop a community. Develop a community who is going with where you're going. And honestly, it hurt me, but I had to let some friendships go, not because I was judging them, not because I looked down on them or anything like that, but it's like their lifestyle was not pleasing to God, and I couldn't be surrounded with that, because it's easier for someone to pull you down than for them to pull you up. And if you've been delivered from sexual sin, if you've been delivered from secular music, if you've been delivered from cursing and smoking weed and drinking, and you're still, you know, sometimes being in that environment, it could pull on you. So maybe you can go back and get them later on, but sometimes the walk with God, y'all, man, and I wish somebody would have told me, sometimes you got to go by yourself and then go back. Now, so now I'm in a place where I've developed this relationship with God, where I can go in certain environments, I could talk to people, and it's not, you know, it's not tempting to me. It's not, you know, making me fall short or anything, where I'm able to actually minister in these environments and be a reflection of Christ. But when I was new and saved, trying to live for God, I can't go to no club trying to say I'm discipling, I'm witnessing in the club, because I was still struggling, you know what I mean? Or even with music, I had to stop listening to secular music. Because sometimes there are spirits and principalities that are beyond the lyrics and beyond, you know, what we hear. So you could think you just bopping out to a song and you listening to a song, but you don't even know the demonic forces that are behind that song. And that's something I had to learn, where I had to cut out some music. And I'm growing to a point where I'm like, okay, this song is okay, but don't meditate on it. Don't stay there, because if you're struggling with sexual sin, if you're struggling with loneliness, if you're struggling with some type of addiction and you're listening to this music, you may not be feeding that addiction. I would say for me it was sexually. I may not have been feeding that spirit of lust and perversion or sexual immorality physically, but even with the music that I was hearing, that's still feeding that spirit, because now I'm having these thoughts. And these thoughts, you know, seeing starts with a thought. You know, you cast down imagination. So I would say you have to begin to release things, whether it be friendships, places, you know, music, watching certain TV shows, and be open to live a pure life, because purity is not just sexually. Purity is whatever you're putting into your temple that can cause harm, that can cause damage, and you have to be willing to let go of those things so that you can be pure, so that God can use you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what? I'm not going to do a music break right tonight, because I have a few more questions. And you are so anointed, and God is really using you to be a blessing to the listeners on tonight as well as myself. I'm going to continue with the questions. I'm not going to do the music break. The next question is, why do Jesus tell Christians not to be like this world?
Because we are set apart. It was 1 Peter 2:9 that was one of the first scriptures that I had learned when I got saved. And this word teaches us that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So it's like, we're set apart. We're chosen. We're royalty. Like, our father is a king. That's how I always like to explain it to people. Like, I'm a king's kid, okay? I am a princess. My daddy is a king. So why would I want to live like this world when I am a part of a kingdom? So for me, I believe that God wants us to be set apart because we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be a reflection of him. And if we're like the world, what really sets us apart? What makes you different if you listening to the same music that the world listening to? What makes you different if you dressing and talking like the world? What makes you different? So I think that you should be a reflection of a royalty. I don't use that kind of language because I'm a royal, because my daddy is a king. I don't eat, you know, certain food because my daddy is a king and I'm going to take care of my temple. I don't dress a certain way because my body is a temple and I'm going to cover up because I respect myself and my daddy is a king. You know, I think that's something we got to repeat and confess to ourselves. My daddy is a king. So I don't have to look like you. I don't have to talk like you. I don't have to go where you go. I don't have to listen to what you listen to. I don't have to be, you know, trying to follow all the little trends on social media, because I was made for more. I was created for more, and I'm better than that. And it's no judgment. It's no condemnation. I love you, but I know who I am. And because I know who I am, I'm not going to settle for this lifestyle you're living.
Right. Amen. The word of God says we are peculiar people, and the world is not going to understand us because, like you said, we are royalty, we're kings, and we're priests, and because of we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so that's why we are supposed to be, if we are saved in Jesus' name, that's why we're supposed to be doing the things just like Jesus did when he was here on the earth in the flesh. He loved everybody. Like the word of God says again, that God don't love sin, but he loved every sinner. And so that's what we got to reflect and not go around judging people. So, yes, he says we are to be in this world, but we're not to be of this world.
Of the world. Amen.
My next question to you is, what does work while it is day mean? What does that mean to you, work while it is day?
Work while it's day. That one was a tough one for me, but I thought about the scripture in Proverbs 31, where it talks about how in Proverbs 31 verse 15 it reads, "She rises while it is still yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her servant maidens." And even though that's a little before our time, I believe that this word is teaching us that your time is valuable. We have 24 hours in a day, and time is the only thing. I know so many people say time is the only thing you can't go, get back. So I believe that this word, as well as what this question was for me personally, is get up. Get up and do something. What has God called you to do? What is the vision and the dream that he has placed in your heart? What were you created for? You need to get silent, and you need to spend some time with God and ask him, God, what is my assignment in this season? What do you need me to do? Who have you called me to minister to? So I think the earlier you get up, the more you can do in a day. Because if you waking up at 4 or 5 o'clock, and it's something I struggle with, I'm trying to overcome with this quarantine. But, you know, the earlier you wake up again, you can spend that time with God. You can listen to God. You can worship God. You can do the things he called you to do. And then you can rest. You can rest, because some of us, like my friend told me, we are working in our rest time. And God, he has called us to rest. But if you're, you know, so far behind schedule, if you're not managing your time properly, if you're not doing what he needs you to do in the time he has given you, then you're going to be behind. And then you're going to be stressed and not able to do the things, the other things he wants you to do, because you're trying to catch up on what he told you to do 2 weeks ago. It's like there's a time and season for everything. And it's like, are you doing what God told you to do in this season, or are you going to miss it? Because I don't know about you, but like, I don't want to miss what God is telling me to do. And I think that's the revelation we all need to have. Do you want to miss what God is telling you to do? Do you want to miss an opportunity for God to use you? Do you want to miss hearing from God about that vision, about that business, about what he's called you to do, about that relationship he wanted you to have, but you was just too blind to see it? You know, you don't want to miss out on what God is doing in your life.
Amen. That's right. You know what? That's good. I like what you said, and I love the scripture that you gave to back up what you just said regarding that, the question, the answer to that question. But I'm going to go a little bit further with this question, and as the Word of God says, work while it is day. Hold on just 1 second. The Word of God says, work while it is day. And I put that in the book that I wrote that God blessed me to write, the book titled, Are You a Liability Amen. Or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? That's one of the questions that are being asked in this book, Work While It Is Today. I'm trying to, where are we at right here? Work While It Is Day. I got it right here. Hold on, just 1 second. I'm going to find this. I want to make sure I give everybody the right scripture to that question. Page 104. Oh, here we go. The Word of God says, "Work while it is day." You know, when he talks about work while it is day, and that's found in John. That's found in John chapter 4, verse 23, and he says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And it also goes on to tell us, let's know that what it means by work while this day, that means while you have breath in your body, while you're living, while the blood is running warm in your veins, work while it is day, because the night cometh, and the nighttime represents death. That means no one can work for God if you're dead. So that's my answer to that question. But you gave a good answer to that question as to what does it mean work while it's day. And I like the answer that you gave.
I wanted to add two other scriptures. After you sharing that, I thought about Mark chapter 1 verse 35, and it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." And that word is talking about Jesus. And then, and Jesus got up early, and he went to pray. And that's something that I think is very important, you know, and not in a religious manner where if you miss a day, you condemn yourself. But I think it's important, and I'm actually speaking to myself, too, is that, you know, sometimes you got to get up early to get that instruction. You got to get up early to hear from God about how he wants you to run your day. Because sometimes, you know, we get up at 10 o'clock, roll out of bed, and we run in late to places, and we run into work, and we run into school, and we haven't even heard from God about what he wanted us to do that day. And I think about how many scriptures in a word. Yeah, and they talk about how very early they went to the tomb, and very early, you know, they went to get this, and very early. So they talk about how early many people in the Bible, including Jesus, got up early to take care of what needed to, you know, be done, but also to hear from God and prepare themselves for what was to come.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have like 2 minutes left, and I got one. One final question for you on tonight. Why is it important for Christians to be doers of God's word and not hearers only?
I think that one's really simple. It's like, if you're not doing what God said, then are you really living a life? Are you exercising that faith? Are you really, you know, meditating on his word, but like you said, doing what it says? So for me, I think it's important because you want to be like Christ and you want to be his reflection and you want to live the life he has for you. So that's kind of like if you have a bike, I think of this analogy, and you don't read the instructions to put this bike together and you miss a few screws, the bike isn't going to work properly. So if you're just hearing what God is saying, you know, and you're not actually put in some faith and some action behind that word, then you're not working properly. You're not living properly. You're not going to be able to operate perfectly in his will and what it is he has for you, because you done missed a few screws. You missed a few, you might have missed a few steps. And the good thing about God is he is so merciful and forgiving. So even if you're that person, it's not too late to do what his word says now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, Sister Armani, we're about out of time, but I just want to say, how can people, if people want to get in contact with you, how would they be able to get in contact with you before we go off the air?
Well, you can connect with me on Instagram at Armani Danielle. That's ArmoniDanielle. And that's the same on about every social media platform. You can connect with me on Facebook, as well as YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I have some really yummy treats for you there. And I always want to leave off with a little salvation always. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you can simply just repeat after me. And it's, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I confess my sins to you. I receive you now. I ask that you come into my heart. Save me now. In Jesus' name I pray. So I want you to know that you are welcome into this royal priesthood that we have been talking about, and that God loves you, and there is nothing you can do to keep you away from the love of the Father.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much, Sister Armani, for being my special guest on tonight. You have been such a blessing, not only to the listeners, but to me as well. I've learned something from you through God's word that has come out of your mouth on tonight. So you are a blessing, a true blessing to the body of Christ. And you keep on being the young woman that God has ordained a purpose for you to be in the earth. And like I said, as long as you keep God first, you haven't seen nothing yet. Your business is going to flourish and grow like you have never thought of, as long as you keep God first and being the vessel that he has called and anointed and appointed for you to be for such a time as this. Know that God, he's going to continue to bless you. You're going to flourish again like never before. So I just want to personally thank you, and I know that you have been a blessing to worldwide listening audience on tonight. And so we just want to close out saying thank you so much, and if Lord be willing, I will look forward to having you back on my program again, because you have so much that you can offer to the body of Christ and to the worldwide listeners. So I want to personally say thank you for being my special guest on tonight.
Yes, and thank you for having me. I love you. I love you, listeners, and I would love to come back.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to make that happen real soon. Amen. Well, we're going to close out in prayer on tonight. Listeners, keep my sister in Christ, Sister Armani Daniels, in your prayers, because she is a woman, young woman of God. He is truly using her, and we know that the enemy do not like it, but we stand on God's word that says, no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, the Lord God himself, he's going to condemn. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on tonight. We thank you that you look out for us and you have a perfect track record. You have no respect of person. We just bless your name on tonight. We ask that you will continue to have your way in each of our lives, that you alone will be glorified. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, know that I love you. Know that God's loved you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
soul. Yes, sir. Oh, holy Lamb.